The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads.
And welcome to the show here. And this, of course, is John Stadmiller's radio show. And I'm sitting in to the microphone today while he's out wearing one of his many, many hats. Because, of course, he's not just a radio host. He's the boss of Republic Broadcasting. And there's a lot that takes to keep Republic Broadcasting going. Wow, I'm getting this insane feeling of deja vu, like I was just here just only a minute ago. Alrighty, so we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today here. Mike is in the control room. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. I'm looking at the corporate media, and it's rather amazing. They're talking about how it was 50 years ago that the Beatles' first record album came out, and all this other stuff is going on. And it's fluff. It's just, they're doing a lot of fluff, a lot of fluff out there. Obama's trip to Israel and this pro wrestler who saved his mother by ripping up a tree, and I don't even know what that works, and I don't really care. Rivero's rule of the news is, if it affects your life, it's news. If it doesn't affect your life, it's fluff, or it's covert advertising, or it's conditizing. And if you're not familiar with what that term means, it refers back to 2001, where in March of that year, the U.S. government was already informing other governments around the world of a plan to invade Afghanistan in October of 2001. We, the American people, never heard this, of course. BBC covered it. Jane's Defense covered it. It was all over the rest of the world. U.S. will invade Afghanistan in October. What we were getting in the United States was Gary Condit and Chandra Levy. Were they having an affair? Where did she go? Did he kill her? And it was like nonstop coverage. You know, Gary Condit is crossing the street. Is he inside the crosswalk lines? I don't know. We'll go to our sky unit to find out. And it kept everybody focused on this tawdry little sex and possible murder scandal. So that when 9/11 happened, just in time to anger the American people to go along with a war on anybody, it was a complete surprise to maximize the psychological impact. And ever since then, anytime we see the media focusing on sex stories or scandal or any tabloid stuff, we call it conditization. We're seeing a lot of that. Now, obviously, what is going on that does affect your life is the situation in Europe and the economic problems over there, currently focused on Cyprus, but not confined to there. It is a very stressful situation over there. The ATM machines in many cases have run out of money. There's no liquidity. People are reporting ATM machines have simply stopped working in a lot of cases. Gas stations are shutting down. They got plenty of oil and gas. Nobody's got the money to buy it. Credit card transactions are not going through. The Cyprus government, having ignored the wishes of their own people and even their own parliament, are working out the details of a deal with the European Central Bank, which will involve going into the private bank accounts of the Cypriot people and simply taking a piece of the action to give to the banks, so the banks have got money to loan back to the Cypriot people. It's sort of like here in the United States of America with the bailouts. All the bailout is taking $1 trillion from the American people and giving it to the banks so the banks can loan it back to the American people at interest. Great deal for the banks, not so good for the people. Got to take, we're coming up here on the end of the segment. Phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the implications of this. It appears that this is going to spread across Europe and could very realistically come here to the United States of America. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
And okay, welcome back to the show here. And of course, I'm not John Stadtmiller. I don't even play him on television. And we're talking about the situation over in Europe. We got a lot of noise on the line. I'm not exactly sure why. But anyway, we're talking about the economic situation over there, focusing on Cyprus, certainly not confined entirely to that. And at this point, it looks like there's going to be what they're calling a levy, a stability tax, or whatever. They're using all these names. What it comes down to is theft. In order to save the banks of Cyprus, they're going to go in and steal money from the people of Cyprus, from their bank accounts. The bank accounts are still locked. They can't get in there. The banks in Cyprus, if this deal goes through, are scheduled to reopen next Tuesday, maybe. Even if the banks reopen, there's still going to be a freeze on most of those accounts. And in order to withdraw any large amount of money out of their accounts, the people of Cyprus are going to have to get permission from the European Central Bank. And they're already talking about doing the same thing to all of the banks of Europe to prevent a bank run. And they're trying to come up with a justification for all of this stuff. And apparently the Prime Minister of Finland came out there and said, well, you know, technically bank customers are investors in the bank. And so if the bank fails, like any other investor, they have to be prepared to take losses. Now, of course, that's not really what a bank customer is. Because if you're a bank customer and you're getting that tiny amount of interest on your savings account, you don't get dividends from the bank's performances. You're not getting bonuses. You're not getting any of the additional financial reward the real investors expect in exchange for accepting that risk. So if the Prime Minister of Finland is saying that you must accept the risk of involvement with the bank, but we're going to keep all the profits for ourselves, what it comes down to. At one point, they were talking about a 40% levy on all of the Cyprus bank deposits. They're talking it back down now about 15, and they're trying to say, who's it going to fall on that is going to anger the fewest people? But you need to understand something. Bank deposits in Cyprus are not insured by the government, which you have to understand makes perfect sense, because if it's the government that's stealing money from the banks, they don't want to turn around and have to put it back in through their bank account insurance program. So when this money is taken, it is gone without the permission of the Cypriot people. And now they're talking about locking up the banking system so the people of Cyprus can't get back the rest of their money that's in there. So the actual impact of the theft is going to be much, much greater. Going to go to Mike in Maryland. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I get home from work at 4:30 Eastern, so I'm lucky to catch the last half hour of your show, but I'm glad you're going overtime here today. I, because I always enjoy your show when I could catch it, you know, previously. This whole thing with Cyprus, you know, I was listening to a local talk show, where a stock market talk show, and the guy was saying, oh, you know, it's, Dow was up 90 points, so, you know, they got another plan, things, you know, they get the old hoptimism going, you know, that they're going to, you know, get this thing going. But I read this article on Zero Hedge, and maybe I might want to talk about the ammo situation if we have time, but I'm going to concentrate on this. But from Zero Hedge, apparently, according to this article, for some reason, and they claim it's because the Russian government is so corrupt, they funnel the government money through the banks in Cyprus. So with the closure of the banks, apparently the Russian government can't pay their bills now.
Well, the Russian government does use the Cyprus banks, and so do many other banks within Europe as well, because Cyprus has laws against double taxation. If you're paying taxes in Cyprus, or if you're paying taxes in your own country, you don't pay taxes in Cyprus. And like anybody else, you're going to go to where you're going to get the best deal for the handling of your money. So Russia is feeling that this situation in Europe has become a threat to their financial interests. There's still continued talk of Russian involvement in a possible save in exchange for natural gas exploration rights around Cyprus. Russia would like to have a naval base on Cyprus, currently occupied by the Germans. And, of course, Europe and the United States are adamantly opposed to any kind of a deal that gives Russia a foothold in the Eastern Mediterranean. So they're fighting this thing tooth and nail. Yesterday, the European Union bluntly told the government of Cyprus, if you make any deals with Russia outside of us, we will cut you off completely and destroy your economy. Right now, I have to be very honest in thinking that the very best thing Cyprus could do for Cyprus is to simply vote to say, we're out of the European Union, we're dropping the euro, we're going to basically make buddy-buddy with Russia and get tangled up with their economy. Because remember, Putin took control of Russia's central bank, so they are not laboring under this slavery of having to work and enrich privately owned central bankers. And the reality... Go ahead.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Well, so the operant question is this kind of like a covert attack on Russia by the EU to hamstring the government?
No, it's not a covert attack. You don't attack anybody overtly or covertly by destroying your own financial system. It is simply a side effect of what is going on. And again, it's not just Russia that is dealing with these problems. Other banks in Europe are dealing with the fact that they were running some of their finances through Cyprus. You have all of these British expats living in Cyprus, who retired down there. They can't get their money. So it's not just Russia.
So Russia is just collateral damage, in other words.
Yes.
With this, the Russian government. Well, let me talk briefly about the ammo situation. I own an AK-47, and I went to sports, you know, as you know, 7.62 by 39 and 223 ammo, and 308, you know, ammo has been virtually extinct for the past 3 or 4 months. Sportsman's Guide had this, you know, on their page for AK ammo, the nearest, you know, depending on the company, they're supposed to get back orders March 20th, April 3rd, June 20th, July, mm-hmm. depending on the company, right? So a week or so ago, I went to the website, and it says all the different companies from Russia to American companies, it says item not currently available for order. So do you think our government somehow is restricting importation or somehow cutting off the supply of domestic and foreign ammo from
They may very well be. Of course, all the government has to do is simply buy it up as soon as it's manufactured. And we do know that our Department of Homeland Security has been buying all kinds of ammunition, including all of this hollow point ammunition that's designed to kill human beings. It's not practical for target shooting or practice. It's not even legal to use in war. But they're buying billions and billions of rounds. Plus, of course, everybody who's out here who's concerned about the gun grab, anytime ammunition shows up on the store shelves, they're buying it. You might want to start looking into investing in reloading supplies and set up a reloading bench in your home. You're probably going to come out with more accurate ammunition anyway, as opposed to those automated machines weighing the amount of propellant going into the cartridge. And yes, it's a lot more work. But you'll probably get your ammunition a lot more reliably and certainly at a lot lower cost. The advantage right now is for all of us who like to shoot black powder because there isn't a shortage of black powder or Pyrodex. And, of course, we can make our own bullets, you know, at home with just a little bit of soft lead and a bullet mold.
Yeah, well, yeah, thanks. Yeah, so, yeah, you're right. It does take a certain amount of skill and accoutrements to make your own ammo, but it could be worth someone's while. I don't really need any ammo myself. I was just mm-hmm. curious because I've got it stockpiled, but I guess maybe this is just a round robin way of gun control is, you can have all the guns you want, you just won't have any ammo.
Well, it could very well be, and we certainly can't rule out the possibility that the government has gone to these gun manufacturers and said, you will sell everything you're making to us, and you won't sell anything anywhere else, or we'll have the IRS come in and audit you, or various other threats. I mean, this government right now is clearly desperate to cling to power and wealth, and they're clearly very much afraid of the American people being well-armed because of what they're seeing happening right now in the streets of Cyprus and Greece and Italy and France and Spain and everywhere else that's going on.
Yep, in some way it sounds like to me, too. All right, thanks a lot for your input. I appreciate it.
All right, you got it. All righty. So anyway, even though our American corporate media is barely mentioning the situation in Europe, and Cyprus. It is an area of concern for everybody around the world. Certainly the foreign press is sounding the alarm, the Russian press, the European press. They understand this is a very, very terrible situation. But I want to make a point here, and this is something that you all need to understand. If you don't understand anything at all about the banking crisis, you need to understand the following point. Nothing that is being done right now is going to change the ultimate outcome. The seizure of bank accounts, confiscation of homes, rigging the LIBOR, rigging gold, stock market manipulation, gold rehypothecation, none of that is really going to work because the infernal machine that created this crisis, private central banks issuing the public currency as a loan at interest, a system which by design creates more debt than money with which to pay that debt, is being allowed to continue unmolested. And as long as those private central banks are allowed to go on creating money out of thin air and loaning it out at interest as the public currency, it has to crash at some point. Nothing that is being done is going to change that. It's all placebos, panacea, looking good for the voters and the media, and it's not really going to change anything at all in the final outcome. And you need to be aware of that. Got to take a break for commercials. Be right back.
Took it all away. Time to relax and unwind. What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bells? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment into a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage are protected for long life, and all parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sizes to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to SantaBarbaraBells.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. SantaBarbaraBells.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Okay, and aloha. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go to the phones here. Mike in Oregon. Aloha. Mike, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What's on your mind today?
Okay. I listen to you all the time, and I'm all the stuff about the gold and silver, buy gold and silver. Okay. I can't afford gold. I'm going to college. I'm going to school. I live on financial aid, loans, and scholarships and all that. I'm going to be getting a check coming in first or second week of April. I'll have a couple thousand dollars after paying tuition and books and all that stuff and rent and all the bills. Now, I'm wondering, here's my theory. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. Very simple. I can't afford gold ingots because they're like $1,000 for an ounce or $2,000 or whatever it is. Okay, I figure if the coming collapse comes and chaos happens, I'm thinking of buying for like $20 or $30 or whatever it is per ounce on silver, silver ingots, not coins, not all that stuff, because I don't know who's going to want a 1919 dime or something, whatever. Just regular old ingots that I could take this ingot of, let's say it's worth $25, $30 an ounce, whatever it is, and I can buy a couple of pounds of hamburger, a loaf of bread, bottle of ketchup, yada, 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 whatever, mm-hmm. and go and exchange it. In other words, is this a good idea to have silver little square silver ingots sitting at home, you know, just a bunch as many as I can get and gather up in the next time till the chaos comes or whatever, and do that. Is that a good idea?
It's a good idea, but I'll give you one that's a little bit better, and it's called junk silver. And what that refers to is pre-1964 U.S. coinage that has a silver content. but no numismatic value. In other words, it's not collectible. Never buy coins for their numismatic value. That rises and falls with the public tide. But you can go out to places like eBay and just put in the search term junk silver, and they will sell you a bag of these older coins that have silver in them for the melt value. And the advantage for having those coins is everybody will recognize what they are. And they know that it's a reliable amount of silver in there. It's recognizable, and that becomes a medium of exchange. Now, long after the Roman Empire collapsed, the coinage Rome issued was still being used as a medium of exchange because the worth was in the metal in the coin, gold, silver, and bronze. And the same will apply to these pre-1964 silver coins issued by the United States of America. The current coins nobody will take. They're going to be completely worthless when the Federal Reserve implodes. But that junk silver, that way you don't have to worry about, you know, cutting your little ingot or how much is it really worth. These are fixed units of value, and that's what will get our commerce going again while we set about creating a whole new government and a state public banking system. And the first person who comes in and says, I want to have a private central bank, we hang, draw, quarter, burn, and have the ashes peed on by a rabid dog.
Okay, but the junk silver, not every, a lot of people don't know. Let's say if I hand you three 1958 dimes, and you don't know anything about 1958, well, it's got a vast amount of silver in it. It's 30 cents, idiot, you're going to tell me. What happens
that's,
to people
that's okay.
What you're looking at?
That's okay, because it's pointless. Following the collapse of the Federal Reserve, it's pointless to worry about how much the silver inside those coins is worth in terms of the Federal Reserve dollar, because the Federal Reserve dollar will be gone. So yeah, it'll be a 10-cent piece and it'll be a 25-cent piece, and we won't have to be doing any exchange calculations in our head. And it's certainly, you're not going to be thinking about how to convert from the coinage or the melt value back and forth. You will have a fixed unit of currency that people will rely on and trust, because it is a known, recognized unit of currency. It is coinage. It is the value of the coinage is the coin itself, not a paper note that is based on some good faith and credit of some private central banker and a government that doesn't exist anymore.
Are all these pre-1964 coins, are they all like 99% pure silver?
I think it's, somebody actually called in with that information the other day, and I think it's, about like, 85 to 90%, but you need to understand something about the coins. The silver is the actual money. There is additional metal put in for durability so they don't wear out. And that is the reason they're not 100% pure silver, because they would wear out too quickly in circulation. But the volume of silver in those coins is a constant, and that is the dime, the quarter, or what have you. The additional metal there isn't there to cheat or defraud anybody. It's to keep the coin from wearing out too soon as it passes from hand to hand to hand.
So the little silver ingots are really not, because that is 99.1% silver. That's an actual piece of silver that everybody in the world knows it's silver. It says right on there, 99% pure silver.
But for buying and investing and selling in melt value, that's a good way to go. But if you're talking about being able to buy and sell the necessities of life after the collapse of the Federal Reserve, it really is going to be a lot easier if everybody is using these older U.S. coins that everybody recognizes. They already know what they are. They already know how much silver is in there. If you're trying to buy a tank of gas with a silver ingot, you could wind up cheating yourself by turning over the whole ingot. And you don't want to get into there where you're there with a pair of wire cutters just cutting off and weighing little tiny bits of silver. It's better to go with a standardized unit of exchange. And, you know, I would say if you're concerned about that, invest in both directions. Get some silver blocks and bars and get some of this junk silver to use as barter and boxes of ammo. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack, for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. HerbalHealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to HerbalHealer.com today. HerbalHealer.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
And aloha. Welcome back to the show here. We're still focused on what's going on in Cyprus, and we're getting continuous updates. They're working late into the... They're going to be working for the whole weekend, trying to find a deal that's going to make everybody happy or, to be more honest, not anger anybody sufficiently to... break out in riots, which is already too late. The riots are already happening. The police are pounding on the protesters. A lot of the protesters include employees of the banks themselves. The latest negotiating tactic is they're now talking about what's called the double dip. They're going to dip into the large depositors' accounts now and then repeat it a little bit down the road, which tells us they're going to keep those accounts frozen. And they've already announced that. If the Cyprus banks reopen next Tuesday, the accounts themselves are still going to be frozen for the large majority of their value. They're going to let a little money out so people can eat and buy gas, and it's going to be under the control of the banks. The bank is going to be in control of the Cyprus people spending. Do you really need this much money to buy groceries this week? We only think you need this much, and here we will give it to you. Talk about dictatorship. And, of course, the concern is how this is going to affect bank customers all across Europe, which is all linked together in one giant Ponzi scheme called the European Central Bank. They were already talking about doing one of these haircuts, shaves, stealing in Italy. And everybody's got to be very, very nervous because all of the assurances that this was not going to happen are for naught. The president of Cyprus only a couple of months ago was saying that depositors are safe. We will protect the depositors. No, you're looting the depositors to protect the bankers. And the banks in Cyprus passed one of these so-called stress tests only a few weeks ago. You've probably seen it in the news where they'll say, we're having a stress test on the bank. And then the next day they say, the banks passed the stress test. They're secure and safe and solid, and you don't need to worry. Well, obviously those stress tests aren't worth anything other than propaganda value. Because the Cyprus banks passed those stress tests only a few weeks ago. Now, all across Europe and probably all across America, a lot of people are thinking, could it happen here? Now, yesterday, Ben Bernanke was asked that question during a press conference, and he hemmed and hawed and went around and said, well, yeah, it's kind of a silly question, but he acknowledged that if the European contagion spreads to the United States, yes, it could happen here. Now, today, he's trying to sort of do damage control. And he was out there saying it's extremely unlikely it will ever happen here. And again, they're back to that word about contagion. But there's something that Bernanke is not telling you. Contagion is inevitable because of something called credit default swaps. Now, credit default swaps are a form of financial derivative, and they function like an insurance policy on investments. They were originally created as a means to reduce risk. If I, as an investor, invest $1 million in your new company, Consolidated Lint, and at the same time I buy a credit default swap on that investment, if Consolidated Lint goes out of business, I'm not out all of my investment money. The credit default swap will pay me back at least part of it. It's an insurance policy. But credit default swaps are not regulated like the regular insurance company is. On regular insurance, you may only insure something that you own. I can insure my house against fire. I can't insure my neighbor's house against fire because it gives me a reason to go out there in the dead of night with a can of gasoline and a match and burn the place down. Common sense. And under the laws governing insurance companies, insurance companies, after they're selling all these policies and the money is coming in, they are required to keep part of that money as a cash reserve with which to pay the reasonably expected number of claims that will be coming in. That's how the insurance companies work. But derivatives, credit default swaps, don't have to follow those laws. You can buy a credit default swap on somebody else's investment. And you can buy as many of them as you want. And the companies that are selling credit default swaps are not required to keep any cash reserves. This is what happened to AIG. When all those fraudulent mortgage-backed securities were being sold by Wall Street all around the world between 2002 and 2007, AIG was selling credit default swaps on those mortgage bundles, secure and serene in the belief that they were never going to have to pay a claim because, after all, Wall Street's own ratings agencies had rated all of these mortgage bundles AAA. Then, of course, the fraud was exposed. The bubble burst. It turned out most of those mortgage-backed securities were completely worthless. They call them toxic assets now, so you're not picking up on what's really going on when the U.S. government is buying back these toxic assets at taxpayer expense. They're buying back the bad paper. But everybody who had invested in mortgage-backed securities and lost their money, but they bought a credit default swap from AIG, they went to AIG and say, pay up. And AIG said, we don't have the money. We gave it away as corporate bonuses and perks and the rest. We don't have them. And, of course, AIG collapsed. And not having learned their lesson, Wall Street has sold an estimated $90 trillion worth of credit default swaps against Europe's debt. I don't know what portion is directly tied to Cyprus, but some of it is. So let's say the banks open next week. The people of Cyprus are going to be screaming. They can't get their money. The government is taking it away from them. What's that going to do to the rest of Europe? especially Italy, where they're already talking about doing the same thing there. Those Italians are going to do the smart thing. They're going to go to their bank accounts, and they're going to take out all the money that isn't needed to cover their outstanding obligations, their checks, or their automated payments, and everything else that's over that. They're going to take it out, take it home, put it in the spaghetti canister or something. And we could see that all across Europe. They're already talking about cash controls all across Europe to prevent runs on the banks. And if there are runs on the banks and any of those banks collapse, the credit default swaps sold against their indebtedness come due. And it will be a firestorm because these Wall Street firms who sold these credit default swaps against Europe's debt do not have the cash reserves to pay them. And so what's going to happen is Wall Street will do what it's always done when its little Ponzi scheme frauds fall apart. They're going to turn around to the United States government and say, we need another bailout. We need a solidarity levy. We need a haircut. Whatever they're going to call it, it all comes down to theft. They're going to ask the U.S. government to steal more money from the American people and give to the bankers so they can keep their little giant open-air casino open another day. So the contagion is inevitable to come here to the United States of America. And yes, it could happen here. Bernanke will not absolutely state that it will not happen here. He just says it's unlikely that it will happen here. I'm sure those people over in Russia thought it was very unlikely this big old rock was going to fall down on them from the sky, but it did happen. This incident with Cyprus is ultimately going to cost the European Union far more money than the Cyprus bailout would have generated, because everybody's getting very nervous. Your money is safer at home under your mattress than it is in a bank right now. The biggest bank robber out there is the bank. Spain is now talking about doing a levy into their account holders. So this is already spreading, this Cyprus looting of savers' accounts. It's already spreading. Talking about Italy, Spain. Yesterday we were talking about doing it in New Zealand to prop up this Ponzi scheme bank. When the banks open on Monday, any bank that doesn't have a maximum withdrawal limit imposed, there's going to be a run. The liquidity is just going to evaporate. And again, as I said earlier in the show, everything these governments are doing, everything these bankers are doing, can't work, will not stop the eventual collapse, because they will not look at the real cause of the problem. Private central banks issuing the public currency as a loan at interest, by design, produce more debt on the population than money with which to pay that debt. The instant that first pretty printed piece of paper goes into circulation, more money is owed to the private central bank than actually exists, and the situation never reverses. The debt just builds and builds and is carried forward and is carried forward, and it's a pyramid scheme, because as long as these private central banks can find larger and larger pools of new borrowers to allow the creation of new money as a loan at interest, part of which is then shaved off to pay the interest on the older money, the system keeps going. But when they run out of borrowers, like any other pyramid, it starts to collapse. And it's a horrible three-step process. Step one, after you start the private central bank, you get all of the people into debt. Debt for homes, debt for cars, debt for education, debt for medical bills, debt for whatever. Until the people reach a point where, concerned about their indebtedness, they stop borrowing. Because they still have the freedom to stop borrowing, at least to this point. So at that point, the Keynesian economists come in and say, the government has to borrow to keep this little pyramid going. You've got to borrow. And so the government starts borrowing on your behalf and without your permission, all of it paid back with future tax revenues, money that will be taken from you for which you receive no services whatsoever, until it reaches the point where the government can't borrow any longer. And the U.S. government hit that point Monday. They hit their credit limit. They're looting federal pension funds right now to keep the government working. And when you reach the point where the people won't borrow anymore and the government can't borrow anymore, that's when the bankers will try and arrange a major war, because war will force everybody to agree to borrow even more, go further into debt to fight the war, and after the war is all over, to go even further into debt to rebuild after the war. So when the war is all over, ordinary people have kind of sort of what they started out with all those years before, but the graveyards are a lot larger, and everybody is back on the hook to the bankers for another 100 years. Wars are the bankers' richest harvest. Bankers love war. They don't even care which side wins or loses because both sides go into debt. That's why Brown Brothers Harriman in New York was funding the rise of Adolf Hitler up until the day war broke out. I have an article. It's over at whatreallyhappened.com. It's up there in the little sub-index at the top of the page. I'm going to reprise it to the front page right now so that you can go over and look at it. And this article's been picked up. It went viral. Everybody's talking about it. And it tells the history of the United States of America and the world in the context of every war started for financial reasons. I'm going to give you one example right now. You need to understand, the United States fought a revolution to be free of this style of banking. If you go back and you read the writings of Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, they make it very clear. It was King George III's Currency Act which ordered the American colonies to conduct their commerce only using banknotes borrowed at interest from the Bank of England that was the real cause of the revolution. And then, of course, subsequent corrupt governments in the United States sold us back into the same system of economic slavery. Starting in 1913, when the third version of that private central bank, the Federal Reserve, was created, our public schools stopped talking about the Currency Act. And we've all grown up with this idea that the American Revolution was all about the Stamp Act and the tea tax. And it wasn't. It was about the financial privations of the Currency Act. So following the American Revolution, when the United States government set up this very revolutionary economy of a government-issued value-based currency that flowed through commerce without accruing interest to a private banker, the private bankers got very angry about that. So they came in and they managed to bribe and corrupt their way into the first bank of the United States, a private central bank. And at the end of its original 20-year charter, this First Bank of the United States had impoverished the American people and made the private bankers very rich. So Congress voted not to renew the charter for the First Bank of the United States. At which point, the head of the Rothschilds banking clan literally threatened the United States government, "If you do not renew the charter for our bank, you will find yourself in a war." Congress still refused to renew the charter for the First Bank of the United States. This was in 1811. So the Rothschild-controlled Bank of England went to the British government and said, if you would like to invade and recolonize North America and bring them back into the Bank of England, we'll loan you the money to do it for virtually no interest at all. And that was the cause of the War of 1812, to try and force private central banking back on the United States. Then we had the Second Bank of the United States. And again, it impoverished the people and enriched the bankers until Andrew Jackson made it a feature of his second presidential campaign to end that bank. At which point, there was an immediate assassination attempt on his life, which failed when both pistols refused to fire. So in 1913, the money junkies decide they're going to set up the Third Bank of the United States. Only this time, they're very, very clever. They're not going to call it Third Bank of the United States, because historians would start saying, wait a minute, we've already been through this mistake twice before. No, we're going to call it the Federal Reserve, and we're going to trick the American people into thinking this is part of the United States government, so it must be okay, and it isn't. The Federal Reserve is not a part of the United States government. It's no more federal than Federal Express. It's just a name to bamboozle you into thinking this is a government-controlled economy. And it isn't. It's under the control of the private bankers. And the Federal Reserve does not exist to serve the nation or its people. It serves itself. And after 100 years of this private central bank Look at the United States of America. We used to be the greatest nation on earth. Mass poverty, hunger, starvation, everything that happened to the American people under the first and second banks of the United States has happened to us under the third bank of the United States, also known as the Federal Reserve. The one lesson we should learn from this, from what happened in the U.S., from what happened in Cyprus, from what happened all across Europe, is having private bankers in charge of a nation's economy makes about as much sense as having drug addicts in charge of our pharmacies. The United States system, a state bank, a public currency treated as a public utility rather than a means of impoverishing and enslaving the population. That was the model, and we need to get back to that. Going to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
And welcome back to our show here. And we're talking about the economy. We're talking about private central banking. We're talking about how the United States began with an economic system in which the government created the currency, coinage, where the worth was in the coin itself. The paper notes were claim checks for the money. They were not the money itself. And the government would create the coinage and it would spend it into circulation to buy what the government needed. It would flow through commerce from employer to employee to grocery store to farmer, and then it would be taxed back at the end of the cycle in the same amount to balance the books without interest going to a private banker. The private central banks that are allowed by corrupted government to issue the public currency as a loan at interest drain the wealth from the nation, the real wealth from the nation, and put it in their pockets. And throughout history, any nation that tries to break free from that system of enslavement is attacked and made war on, like the War of 1812. Or the government is simply bought off to bring them back to that model of financial enslavement. And you need to understand something very fundamental. There's no such thing as a science of banking. It's not rooted in the laws of physics. It's an arbitrary set of rules that benefit the bankers. It is functionally a religion. It relies on belief. As a child, you're brainwashed into believing this is the way the world is supposed to be. I remember sitting in grade school looking at the little film strips about the Federal Reserve and how wonderful it was, how this is the only possible way it could the economy could be, and how it was the best in the world. And our schools never taught us that there was a completely different economic system when this nation was founded. It's like a church. It's just a set of rules and beliefs that benefit the clergy or the bankers. It's the new form of human enslavement. This rule by artificially manufactured debt is no more legitimate a form of government than rule by divine right or rule by slavery. Our civilization has evolved to recognize that rule by divine right, listening to somebody and doing what he says because he claims to speak for the imaginary playmate in the sky, is not a legitimate form of government. We have evolved to understand, at least for most of the world so far, that slavery is illegitimate. You must do what I say because I physically own your person. Well, now it's time to take the next evolutionary step forward and realize that rule by artificially created illusions of indebtedness is illegitimate. And I say illusions of indebtedness because you need to understand all these trillions and trillions of dollars you're being told that you owe to the private central bank, it doesn't exist. It never did. It's just an entry on a spreadsheet. That money that you are being told you must come up with and provide to the bankers does not exist. And it never, ever did. Now, we're going to take a break for station identification. And when I come back, I will tell you what the proper role of banking in society ought to be and was at the start of the United States of America.
We need leaders to lead us, not stick us and bleed us. Take all our